Go ahead, Cameron.
Amen, amen. Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We'll keep it real brief. Just a couple quick announcements that I'll be sharing today. All of you who are signed up already, you probably already know our seniors' lunch is after service today. It is all set up in the other room, looking fantastic. People are working on it, making sure it's all set. So pastor's actually going to bless the food in here so that as soon as service dismisses, all the seniors, y'all can just go over and start eating right away. That way we can just knock it out here. Amen? So it'll be a good thing. Right after service, you guys head over there for all the seniors. And then they will have the lunch prepared and ready for you. And it'll be an amazing fellowship. Amen. Also, this upcoming Friday and Saturday, we are leaving for our youth conference, for our presence conference. So all of you who are signed up and have students who are signed up, you'll be getting communication from me this week about everything you need to know for this upcoming Friday. So we're excited about that as well. And just to keep a heads up as well, next Sunday, we have a guest minister. So we have guest minister Murray Boynton. And so that guest minister will be joining us next week, and so we're going to be blessed by that as well. And for our final announcement, I'll invite Pastor Pam up to come and to share for our final announcement here. The final announcement about the Girls Brunch Club, Pastor Pam will come up. Give it up for Pastor Pam. You totally knew about that.
I totally knew that what he was going to ask me to talk about. Okay, coming back to my senses now. Yes, so for this coming month, we're going to do something very different for our ladies' brunch, our girls' brunch club. Got to get that right. We are doing a craft day. And so if you like crafts, we're going to actually do a couple different crafts, and we're going to have a really nice lunch. We're going to have quiche and salad. And so we'll be having Linda Vendiola. I don't know if she's in the house, but she is a professional. Yes, there you are. She makes the most beautiful handmade cards. And so I asked her if she would do a station for us to make some Christmas cards. And so how many you can make in the time, you know, we're going to. She said she has enough supplies to open her own store. So it doesn't have to be Christmas cards you make, but we will certainly have stuff there for you to make Christmas cards. I love Christmas cards. Did you remember getting Christmas cards in the mail? We still get some from a lot of you guys. They're just precious. It's better than getting a text, you know? And then also we'll be making clay ornaments, and I don't have a copy of one here, but they're really pretty, and it's something that you'll get to hand make yourself. And, you know, like I said, depending how fast you are, you might make one or two or three. And it's just going to be a special time of us to fellowship. And if you like to craft, this is going to be fun. It's only $10 to cover the supplies. And so we will see you there. All right. Thank you so much.
Amen. All right. Well, junior high, you guys can take off. Glory to God. Also, just want to remind everybody, you know, hopefully you're all set up, you're already done. If you haven't already turned in your ballots to vote and everything for Tuesday, just make sure you're going to vote, you're going to do, and do good things so you can complain about it all year long. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. And for those of you that are wondering, seniors, If you didn't sign up, but if you're, we said you can be a Denny's senior. So if you're 55 or older, you can show up. Hallelujah. We don't know exactly how many. I do know exactly how many chairs we have set up down there. We're believing, you know, we know that everybody that signed up, we have plenty for you. But if you come, we've got extras. It's all good. Somebody says, "Well, do you have extra food?" Well, God will multiply it like He does the loaves and the fishes. Amen. He'll do good things with that. But amen. We just wanted to honor. And thank God for those that have been with us for many, 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 many years. Amen. And even if you just showed up and said, "Hey, I just showed up today because I heard there's free food," we are glad you're here today. Amen. Praise God. Hey, if you have your Bibles, turn to Colossians with you, would with me. Colossians chapter 3. I want to kind of just piggyback on what Pastor Pamela preached last week, and she did just an awesome job by the Holy Ghost last week. It was really, really good. And, you know, people always kind of give me a hard time. Say, "How come you don't let her preach more?" You do realize that Pastor Pamela preaches as much as she wants to. So just let y'all know that, you know. And for those of you that didn't know last week, she called me, you know, as she's driving down, saying, "Hey, I've got the message this morning." I said, "Hey, okay." So that'll let you know the freedom and the blessing that she has, okay? So don't be bothering me about that anymore, okay? I love all of you. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. Yeah, you know, God is so good. Amen. But you know, I know I really, really appreciate and appreciate the word of God and appreciate what she shared. It's so awesome. And we're just blessed. But here in Colossians chapter 3, what I want to share with you is some things. You know, she talked about we have to guard our words and we have to guard, making sure that we're not speaking what the enemy wants us to speak with all the things that we're listening to. Amen? But I want to back up a little bit from that. I want to back up not only that, because you've got to watch what you hear and what you see. So I want to talk about to you about what in the world are you thinking? You know, and then my title is this, is that, what am I thinking? You know, it's kind of like this. You know, in Genesis chapter 3, you remember in Genesis chapter 3, when the devil deceived Eve and deceived Adam there and everything. And then when God comes down, he's like, Adam, where are you? And Adam comes out and he says, "Hey, you know, here I am. You know, I was afraid and because I was naked." And then God says, "Who told you that? Who told you that you were naked? Who told you that?" So I'm going to come off the same exact preferences of that. Who told you that? And what are you thinking? Why am I thinking that way? What am I thinking? Why am I allowing my thoughts to destroy my life? Amen? Because how many of you know that you have to continue to train and to fight the good fight of faith? And when I say train, you have to continue to do things. Because how many of you found out that if you exercise 20 years ago, but you haven't exercised in 20 years, you are not in the shape that you thought you were in? And I don't care how good you say, "Well, I think I'm in great shape." Good. Because if you see, because here it is, it's not just thinking something, but it's believing something. Amen? Hallelujah. And it's kind of like this. There's a little book that I have. It's called this. It's called Right Thinking, Right Believing, and Right Speaking, which simply means if you can get your thought life right, if we can get you to think in line with what God says, or get you to think in the line of the way God sees you, amen? Or get you to think in the line of what God has for you, amen? Then you will actually do the things God wants you to do, and you'll actually be blessed. You'll actually walk in true freedom and joy, and you'll actually be happy. Amen? And it'll actually affect your face. Amen? So here in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 says this. It says, "If you then be risen with Christ." Well, if you're born again here, glory to God, you got something to shout about. Amen. "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, you know, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection or your mind on things above, not on the things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Amen? I read it to you out of the King James. I'm going to read it to you out of the New Living. It says, "Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God." Amen? So what I want to talk to you about today is your mindset. What are you thinking? What is the things that you fall back to? What is, you know, your thing that this is what I go to? This one, what is that which is non-negotiable in your life? And it's really whatever you're setting your mind on. Amen? It really is. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 says this, and it says that you put off concerning your former conduct, or the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. This is Ephesians 4:22. And it says that, "And he be renewed in the spirit of your mind that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Isn't it amazing? He said, we got to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. How many of you know your mind has a spirit, has thoughts, has things there? I like what the New Living says in this. He says, throw off your old sinful self or your old sinful nature and your former way of life. Listen, if you got born again, you should have changed. Amen. Which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Amen? As we take on, and it says, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. It's amazing how we can let the enemy program how we're going to think and what we're going to act and how we're going to walk. And yet we've got to come back to the Word of God that actually is the way we're supposed to think, the way we're supposed to act, and the way we're supposed to live. Amen. It is that. There are so many voices out there in the world. The Bible says none of them without signification, except that you've got to know, what voice am I going to listen to? What's going to be the strongest influence in my life? Amen. You know, Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen? But the New Living Translation says this, don't copy the behavior and the customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Amen. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Amen? You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16 says this. It tells us that, you know, it says, who can know the Lord's thoughts? Amen? And it says, when it goes, who knows enough to teach him? This is the New Living. But then he said unto this, but we understand these things. Why? For we have the mind of Christ. So if Paul says that we do have that, the Word of God declares that, the Word of God says we need to be transformed so that we can change our thinking, then we have to ask ourselves, what am I thinking? Amen? Now go to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. I want you to go to that scripture because we're going to talk about it. You're there in the Colossians. It's in my Bible. It's only just a couple pages back. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Philippians 4:8 says this, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Amen? Why is it so important? Because what you think is going to form what you believe. I know it's your heart. You know, we talk about, you know, our heart's different than our head. It is. You know, our heart is different. Our spirit's been born again. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you got a brand new nature. You got a brand new spirit on the inside of you. That's the new man. But your mind, your will, and your emotions was the same old man. And you got to renew your mind. You got to change the way you think and the way you act and what goes on, because you've got a new person on the inside of you. If you keep trying to act like the old guy, there's going to be this war on the inside of you. And you're going to be just in this upheaval. You're going to be like, I don't understand. You're going to be like Paul said in Romans chapter 6 and 7. The things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, I do. And you're walking around like, oh. Because we got all these people who believe in God, we have very few that are obeying God. See, the Bible says if you're willing and obedient. Got a lot of willing people, but not obedient. And then we have some that are obedient, but not willing. They're wondering why they're not blessed. Because they're doing it out of rote, or they're doing it out of a grudgery. They're doing it out of these things here. And for those of you that have been coming to this church for many, many years, you know my famous saying from this particular passage of scripture. If it doesn't bring life to me and praise unto God, it's not fit for my thought life. So any thought that I'm thinking that doesn't bring life to me and praise unto him, why am I thinking it? So I have to always guard what I'm thinking, which is content, you know, what I'm thinking. And I also got to guard how I'm thinking, which is my attitude. Because you realize it's set up there. Let's be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Let's let the spirit renew our thoughts and our attitudes. And if you've got an attitude of always checking everybody, we need to, you know, always look at this. And I know that we live in a world that's, man, it's very easy to do that. But how do you know it's always better to believe the best of every person than the worst? I would rather miss it believing the best of you than hit it by believing the worst of you. Amen. Thank you for those four amens. Hallelujah. But listen, what am I thinking? What am I doing? What am I allowing to form, fit how I live and how I walk and I breathe at this time? And, you know, I use the analogy of you got to train and you've got to work. You got to do it. You've got to continually keep yourself doing things. Because if you don't, then what happens is you're not ready, fit to use your faith when you need it. Because you're not going to have the thought, man, I haven't used that in a while. Haven't done that in a while. Ah. And then what happens is you're not going to have confidence. Amen. Amen. Remember, 1 John 5:14 says, this is the confidence. Confidence of what? This is the confidence that if we ask anything, you know, according to his will, anything according to his will or his word, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. What an amazing thing. What an amazing thing that we have, because it gives us confidence. He gives us confidence. Amen. Some says, well, how do I do that? How do I guard my mind and my thoughts? How do I do that? Well, the Bible tells us gives us some attributes of what kind of mind you're supposed to have. And if we have the mind of Christ, which we do, which means we can do the things. Amen. I mean, it really does. It really says that we can do this. Hallelujah. You know, but once we see it, we can say, hey, wow, this is awesome. So go with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. Let's go back over to Romans chapter 8. Let's talk about the very first one, because here's the first thing you got to do is you got to get rid of yourself. You got to find out you're dead and your life in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's hard for people to do because they always want to be right. Amen. Romans chapter 8 and verse 6 says this, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Amen? The New Living says this, so letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control you or control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. Your flesh is always warring against your spirit. It is that. But he says, let's not have a carnal mind. Let's have a spiritual mind. Well, how do we have a spiritual mind? Well, the only way I know how to have a spiritual mind is to get it renewed on the Word of God. It's to think like God thinks. Amen? God says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. Amen? God said, hallelujah, that he'd never leave you nor forsake you, so you're never alone. Amen? Hallelujah. God said that you're more than a conqueror. You're an overcomer in this life. God said that greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. God said, hallelujah, that he's ordering your steps, that he's leading you and he's guiding you. Glory to God. God said he'll be there. He'll be your shield and your buckler. God said, hallelujah, that he's caused you to rise up, hallelujah, and to ride on the wings and the wings of love and the wings of the power of God. And he said he's going to do great and mighty things for you and with you and in you. Now we look at that and we can say that really good here in church. It's just when we get out here and somebody takes our parking place or somebody cuts in front of us, or we get out here and God says, hey, talk to that person, do that. And then we get to thinking, yeah, but I don't want to offend anybody. Aren't you glad that the world totally wiped out the offense? That they came and offended you. They came and attacked you. So you have a right not to offend, but to defend. And to defend the gospel and to defend yourself. And just say, this is what God is doing. Amen. Because they're the ones, you know, they don't care if they offend you and all that. So you can't be worried about offending them. And here's the thing about it. I never understood why people are always afraid to offend somebody about telling them the truth about something that's life or death. Amen? It's life or death. Do you know what we have is not this, oh, it's a great, you know, why don't you try to be a, no, it's life or death. It's heaven or hell. Sometimes we get to thinking about all the goodness of God and all the greatness of God and all the blessings of God that we forget about the soberness of God. Amen? Because see, the first mind it talked about was a carnal mind and a spiritual mind. Do you know the second mind that the Bible talks about is a sober mind? What does it mean by being sober? It means that, guess what? This is serious. This is serious. Amen? Peter said it like this in 1 Peter 1:13. He said, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Man, when you got a revelation of Jesus Christ and you got born again, you let Jesus be the Lord of your life and you realize, man, what Jesus did, we just did communion. It puts us in remembrance of his death, his burial, his resurrection, and that he's coming again. And Jesus said, don't do anything till I get up to heaven and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send another comforter just like me. That's not only going to be with you, but it's going to be in you. Amen. And you're going to have power and you're going to have authority and you're going to have the spirit of truth in you. The spirit of truth. The spirit of truth. Somebody says, what's truth? This is truth. This is truth. You've got the spirit of truth. And people are always trying to steal the truth from you. They're always trying. The devil's always trying to get. Because he knows truth, glory to God, will set you free. He definitely doesn't want the church to get happy. He don't want you to be full of joy. Because when you're full of joy, people look at you differently. Well, what are you so happy? I mean, the world's terrible. What's going on here? But it's also this, it is a serious thing. Titus 2:6, Titus told all those guys at Crete, he was on the island of Crete. He said, likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded. And what that simply means is that be ready. Here it is here. In the New Living Translation, it says this. In the same way, encourage the young men to live wisely. And you yourself must be an example to them by doing good works of every kind, let everything you do reflect the integrity and the seriousness of your teaching. Amen. I love what Ryan said when he started. He said, listen, we're here to enjoy, yes, praise God, hey, and get, but we're also here to understand the seriousness that God wants to heal your body. God wants to save your soul. God wants to give you a word in due season so you can walk free from the guilt, the condemnation, all the junk that the enemy tries to bombard you with. You know, this time of year, going from November and December, should be the most wonderful time. It's all about Thanksgiving and joyful and Christmas, how great it is. But you realize that this time of the year, more people kill themselves this time of year than any other time. You say, how come? Because you're either looking at what you don't have or looking at what you've missed out on. Most people are always looking about what they missed out on instead of what they can receive. You know, the best story I know about that's the most one. It's about the two little boys and the stalls, right? You know, and in the stalls, yeah, they got two things, and it's just full of hay and manure and everything. And the one little boy's, there's nothing in, I don't see. And the other little boy is just digging through there as fast as he can. He's ripping, and they're like, what are you doing? He says, man, with all of this stuff, there's got to be a pony in here somewhere. Amen. See, what are you thinking? What am I thinking? But I've got to think spiritually minded, but I've also got to be sober minded that, listen, my life is not mine. My life is hid in Christ. Amen. It's no longer, Paul said it like this in Galatians 2:20. He said, it's no longer I that lives, but it's Christ that lives in me. And now this life that I now live by the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's no longer I that live. Paul said, hey, what are we doing? How are you? But many times we don't have our sober mind. And then the next one, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, a sound mind. Oh my gosh. Don't you wish we had people, you know, actually that could have sound minds? And then if you watch, you know, if you've ever, you know, if you turn on, you know, you're doing TV or you're doing news or you're doing things and you think, man, where did common sense go? Where did just communication go? Where did actually the ability to actually talk right go? 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God's not given us a spirit of fear. Amen? But a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. That we can think rightly. We can think in line with the word of God. Hallelujah. That changes everything. Amen? It does. I'm so glad, hallelujah, that I have a sound mind. I declare that all the time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to be sober-minded. I want to be spiritually minded. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 2. Go over there. Go back to Philippians chapter 2. Or go over to Philippians chapter 2. We're at Philippians 4, but go to Philippians chapter 2. I love this one. It's so wonderful. Because here talks about several things that we need to have. And I just got this news, is that we need to have a humbleness of mind. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, it says, you know, let not any of us think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. Amen? We can think highly of ourselves than we ought to. He said, why? Because God has given to every man the measure of faith. We all start out the same. We're not supposed to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. But we're supposed to think of ourselves very high in Christ. Yes. Because we're seated at the right hand of the Father in Christ. We can't get any higher spiritually than we are right now because we're the body of Christ. We're in Christ. Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. He has been given and elevated to the highest place right up there, right beside the Father God. Hallelujah. We got everything that the devil wanted. Amen. He said, I'm going to exalt. We got it all. That's why he hates us so much. Amen. Because we're the body of Christ. We've got, so when you're trying to say, glory to God, your understanding of it is. Amen? Because you remember what he said there when he said that you got to walk, you know, in this, in and be sober, but realizing. I don't know if you caught that from when it talks about here in 1 Peter, you know, that verse that it said was so good. In grabbing a hold of it here, right here. 1 Peter 1:3 says this, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, many times we have asked Jesus to become a part of our life instead of being our life. Amen. You know, come in and let Jesus come into your heart, come into your heart to stay. Come in. But you need to come in and go, know what? I'm coming to be killed. I'm coming to allow him. I'm coming so that Mark Butler died, but Mark Butler in Christ Jesus is alive and well. Amen. Because I accepted him, because I got transferred out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear son. Amen. Hallelujah. I became a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things began to are passed away, and all things have become new. Amen. Verse 18 says, and all things are of God. That's, you know, 2 Corinthians 5:17, and then start at verse 18. Amen. Hallelujah. We look and we see this, but look at Philippians chapter 2. This one's so amazing because we need to have a humbleness of mind. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He says this, and let's begin. If it's so good, let's begin in verse 1. How's that? If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded. If we could just get everybody, hallelujah, to just be loving Jesus, comfort in love, fellowshipping together in the Spirit, hallelujah, and having the mercy of God, then he would, you know, our joy would be fulfilled. He said, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Notice he said in lowliness of mind. Somebody said, you can't think more high of yourself than you ought to. And that is so hard. It's hard in one sense where, man, I'm not trying to, I can't think higher than myself, but then I also have to know, Praise God. I'm over here knowing my authority, my power, and I have to believe that what Jesus said about me is true. And if I believe what Jesus said about me is true, then glory to God. It looks like I'm not lowliness of mind. But it's like, no, I know who I am and what I have, and I want to help everybody else around so they don't have to walk in the vanity of their mind. So they don't walk defeated. They don't walk in listening to the lies of the enemy. Because folks, no matter what's going on in the world, y'all know we win, right? Did you read the back of the book? We get to go. We win. Even if we die before Jesus comes, we're going to have a glorious time. Because the real you is the man on the inside. And this old ugly house that you have here is going to get looking better when it becomes new, okay? So we win, all right? It just is that. Let's keep reading. Look at what he says here. Hallelujah. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind, verse 5, that's what I wanted to get to. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, when we think about that, it goes way over. It just goes, what in the heck? What was Jesus' mind like? Well, Jesus' mind was this: who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but laid down aside all of those things, laid aside as did, so that he could be obedient to what God wanted him to do. Amen? Hallelujah. And when you look at the mind, is that Jesus said, I don't do anything I don't see my Father do, and I don't say anything I don't hear my Father say. Hallelujah. Amen? I mean, if we would actually do what James says, if we would be slow to speak and swift to hear, we'd do a whole lot better. And there's a human phrase to that. It says, and here's what the human phrase is. Make sure, and it says this, make sure your brain is engaged before your mouth is in motion. I like to say it spiritually like this. Make sure your heart is engaged before your mouth is in motion. Okay? Make sure you know that if the words that I'm going to say, if I have to eat them, are they going to taste? How good are they going to taste? Amen? Because he said we have to have a sound mind. We have to have a humble mind. Amen? But he also said this. He said we had to have a willing mind. And did you know that God gave you, he didn't make your mind all brand new. He gave you a new creature. He got you born again. He gave you a whole new nature. But then he said, okay, I want you to not be conformed to the world. I want you to transform your mind. I want you to transform your mind. God gave us our mind, our will, and our emotions, which is our soulish realm, and he gave it for us to use. Amen? It's our responsibility. Your mind is your responsibility. Amen? Amen? You can't say, God, do something. God, help. God, do something with my mind. No, you got to do something with it. Amen. You do. And the wonderful thing is, you can. Because this one here, willing, it's so funny. When you look up the word willing and you look up a willing mind, almost everyone that talks about has to do with money. Thank you for your overwhelming response. Awesome. If you're going to have a willing mind, the biggest thing about this, the number one problem with a willing mind is your money, is your finances, and the willingness to be obedient to help. It's all about helping. It's all about doing. It's all about sowing. It's all about tithing. It's all about giving. And so that's why we know most people in the body of Christ don't have a willing mind. Hey, y'all are nervous. Y'all bless that. That was just a joke, okay? God bless you. We're blessed, okay? Everybody take a deep breath. You know, you want to get a holy hush. You talk about people's kids and talk about their money, man. Everybody goes quiet and dead. We already took the offering. We're all good, okay? We're not taking another one. Everything's good. Hallelujah. We all know the promise in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. It says, if you being willing and obedient, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat of the good of the land. Amen? You know, verse 18 says, let us come together, let us reason together. Though your sins be like scarlet, they'll become white as snow. And then God says, look, I've forgiven you, I've washed you, I've got you out of death and brought you into life, and now you're my child. Now I want you to be willing to do this, because God didn't say, hey, I did all this for you, now you have to. Have you ever figured that out yet, that in Christianity you don't have to? He doesn't make you. You're not a robot. Amen? Goes back to training. Goes back to having to get up and walk, having to get up and breathe, having to get up and say, having to get up and do, because he says he got to have a willing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 or chapter 8, verse 12 says, for there is first a willing mind. It is accepted according to what one has, not according to what one has doesn't have. Of course, talking about sowing and giving. But it's a willing mind. We're willing and obedient. We believe blessed. Amen. That's God's heart. Do you know the next mind it talks about is a pure mind? Man, how many of you know we've got a world that's so unpure right now? So full of lies. So much division. Hallelujah. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 says this. It says, beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Or way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of us, the apostle of the Lord and Savior. Amen. He said, I've got to do this. I got to stir up your pure mind. And how many know we're the ones that determine whether our minds stay pure? By what we hear or by what we see. And man, do we have at our access all kinds of things to hear and see. Everywhere. We have so much that's here, you know. And here's the thing about this. Well, I just don't want to listen. I don't want to. Listen, you have to hear the right things. Because if you eliminate hearing from your life, say, I'm just not going to listen to anything. You eliminated faith. Because faith comes by hearing.
Yes, sir.
Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Amen. So you just got to guard what you hear. Isn't that what Mark said and what Luke said? You know, I think Mark said you got to be cautious of what you hear. And Luke said you got to be cautious of how you hear. What you hear is content. How you hear is attitude. How do you know that what you hear can determine how you hear? Because if you're hearing all this junk and you're putting it in there, then what happens is you're going to, because remember what I said in the very beginning, it's right thinking, right believing, and right saying. But your saying will never be right if your thinking's all wrong. And believe it or not, your believing won't be right if your thinking's all wrong. Even though faith is of the heart, even though it's there. Because if you don't renew your mind will join forces with your flesh and they'll always dominate your spirit. But if you renew your mind and your mind and your spirit hook up, your flesh doesn't have a chance. Amen? See, so we have to have a mindset or a thought process of the word of God and a thought process of faith. Amen? We have to do that. Now, there's a scripture that you probably, the Holy Spirit may have brought it, or you just probably thought, I always thinking about this. Scripture in Proverbs, Proverbs 23, verse 7. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's the King James Version. Amen? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And believe it or not, you know what defeats us? Is thoughts. What defeats us is the wrong mindset of what are we going to do? How are we going to handle this? Who told you that? Why am I thinking this way? What am I thinking? Is it bringing life to me and praise to God? If it doesn't, why am I thinking it? Now people have come up and said, listen, if I did that, then I wouldn't be able to do my job. I said, doesn't your job bring life to you? Doesn't it, you know, you get paid for what you do? And so you should be at your job. You should be thinking about what you're doing. You know, you shouldn't be daydreaming. You should be thinking about what you're supposed to do. You know, if you're not, what'll happen is you're going to end up getting hurt or something's going to go because you're not thinking. And that's usually the whole problem is we're not thinking. You know, I mean, all of us have had kids. How many of you ever had a teenage son? Okay. Teenage sons from about 13 to 18, some challenges along those lines, okay? But I remember a guy coming in with his teenage son, 16 years old. And he is just, I told him, I calmed down. I thought he was going to have a heart attack in my office. He said, I just want to know why. I want to know what he was thinking. What are you thinking? What were you thinking? Because his son was sitting there in the gymnasium, and he had a big, giant ball bearing, you know, pretty good size, pretty, you know, weigh about a pound or two, you know. He's throwing it up in the air, and he's wondering, I wonder if I throw this and I hit that backboard. And so without thinking, he just chucks it, and it shatters. $2,500 backboard, because dad's got to pay for it. And dad wants to kill him for the $2,500, okay? And I'm trying, and mom's sitting there too, like, we're trying to calm him down. Because dad, he said, all I want to know is, what were you thinking? And I jumped up and I said, guess what, dad? He goes, what? He wasn't thinking. He did not think, this is going to shatter this. He did not think, what are the consequences? He just said, I can put it in that little red square right above that rim. And he did. Good shot, good arm. See, that's what happens as Christians when we don't think. We end up and go, oops, I should have thought that out. Yep, we should have thought that out. And see, when we don't have the mindset, what happens is that we realize this, is we're all trying to walk by faith. We're all trying to do what God's called us to do and to run our race the way he wants us to run. The problem is that we need to understand that our thought life affects us in every area of our life. It truly affects us in our faith. Amen? I mean, it affects us in our faith. And when it starts affecting us in our faith, then we have to deal with some things. Amen? Now, you're there in Philippians. Let's go. We got a few more things here. Let's go right over here to James, if you would, with me. James chapter 1. Hallelujah. Amen. See, we have to maintain our thought life because our thought life affects our faith life. Very much so. And see, without faith, you can't please God. Without faith, you can't receive from God. Without faith, you can't do anything for God. Amen. You know, do you ever have somebody come up, you know, they ask you and you say, you know, you tell them what you believe. And of course, their next statement to you is that a faith statement? Is that a faith statement? And you know, when somebody asks you that question, you ought to shout out and say, of course it is. Because the Bible says whatever's not of faith is sin. And I'm not going to sin. Everything I say is in faith. Everything I do is in faith. Because whatever's not of faith is sin. Amen. Because what I believe. Amen. He said here in James chapter 1 verse 5, he said, If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. I love that. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Some says, what the heck does that mean? Well, a double-minded man is one that says one thing over here and then says another thing over here. Or here's another thing, is that he's thinking while he's praying, while he's in the Word, hey, I've got it here. But when he's out here and he's being bombarded, he says a whole nother thing and he's thinking a whole nother thing. Amen? Amen. And the Bible says, let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. Let's put it down into practical thing. When you talk to Pastor Mark, you give him a really cool faith statement. And you tell him all the things you're believing. Yeah, really good thing. But when you talk to your buddies or you talk to all your sisters in the Lord, oh man, I just need you to pray. Oh, this is terrible. And here's it is. But here's the other side of that, okay? Because here's the other side. Let me just share with you. Yes, you're declaring. Yes, you're speaking by faith. But if somebody has come up with you and talked to you and they're asking you, how are you doing? Which, you know, we as faith people hate that. But that's not a negative confession. It's basically what's happening. You know, faith doesn't deny anything. It doesn't deny the problems. It doesn't deny. It just changes it. It just changes the way in your outlook of it. You know, Paul said, listen, we were about to die. We thought we were going to die. It looked like we were going to die. And then God came through and God did. He did something. He's doing something. And we believe he will yet do something. Amen. So, you know, because I remember I did this to somebody just because I knew that. And I did this at a faith school and where I was going to Bible college. Okay. Which was a total faith school. And so, you know, because I felt like the Lord wanted me to bless somebody. And at that time, you know, this is 40 some odd years ago, and I didn't have very much anyways, but the Lord said, I said, hey, how are you? Because I wanted to know, I'm trying this thing out. Am I being led by the Spirit? Because I'm thinking, I don't want to give him $100. I need this $100. And I know I need this $100 more than he needs it. I do. I believe that. But I'm like, okay, Lord, you know, I sense this. You know, it's okay. But I'm going to find out. I got to check it out, because if he's doing great and everything's great, you know, then fine. So I went up and I asked him. I said, hey, just want to know, hey, how's things going? What's happening? You know, how's it going? I mean, you know, because we were all, you know, starving students, you know. And he gave me this really great faith answer. And he's like, whoa. And he gave me all these things and scripture. And I said, man, I must have missed it. I said, I'm sorry. I must have missed it. I just felt like the Lord told me I was supposed to give you $100. But apparently I don't have to give you nothing. But then he went, wait, time out, whoa. I said, man, you convinced me that you don't need anything. I said, he goes, well, and then you're believing. You're believing that somebody's going to meet the need, or God's going to meet, and God's going to always use people. I come up and I walk, and I'm not trying to be, you know, I'm just trying to be, hey, because I'm trying to figure out, because I don't want to help you. I don't want to give it to you, but I want to obey God. See, I'm having a little trouble with this willing mind. My willing mind. Amen? Amen? Of course, then he shares his heart with me. And I'm like, man, here. Glory to God. Thank you. But you messed me up and you. You missed out on a blessing. You would have missed out. And I would have missed out. Because I'm sowing. I'm giving. I know. Because God's going to honor my faith. God's going to honor that. I just want to know I wasn't doing it because I felt sorry for you. Or I wasn't doing it because I, you know, was being coerced to do it. So when somebody says something, it's not so much, yes, it is a faith statement. Yes, this is what I'm believing. Hallelujah. And if God's sharing with you, praise God. We just trust that you're believing with me. Amen. We're doing this. We're allowing God to be God. Amen. And we're thinking in line with the Word of God. Let's wrap this thing up here so that when we take hold of the Word of God, it changes us. We don't want to be double-minded. We don't want to believe one thing and say another. We don't want to. And here, the biggest thing about being double-minded is when your heart and your head don't agree. Because if you ever said something, and you knew it wasn't right in your heart, and immediately, you knew, uh-oh. And that should happen immediately is when you lie, it should immediately bother you. Amen? Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, it's just too hard. It's too hard. You know, when you say it's too hard, then you stop moving in the direction God wants you, because it's not hard. It's not hard to be willing. It's not hard to have stewardship. It's not hard. It's just you make it hard because you think it's going to be hard. I wrote down 5 thoughts that I want to leave you with really quickly here. We're not going to teach on them, but I just want to throw them out there so they're out there, okay? And this is the first one. This is my ending. Therefore, until we change the way we think within our lives, we are incapable of finding the answers we need to actually change our lives. It says, therefore, until we decide, we change the way we think within our lives or on the inside of us, about ourselves and about the thing, then we're incapable of finding the answers we need to actually change our lives. Next one is this. Thoughts will come and thoughts will go, but thoughts that are not put into word or action will die unborn. Which means you can't stop thoughts from coming into your head, but you can limit them by what you're seeing and what you're hearing. But you can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from building a nest in your hair. Okay? Hallelujah. You can do that, all right? you know. And the Bible tells us to keep our heart and mind with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life, or springs the experience and the events of life. Amen? Hallelujah. You know. And whatever we allow to captivate our thought life will eventually control our lives. Okay? And whatever we continually meditate upon will begin to program our reason, our feelings, and our will. God gave us our mind, and it's our responsibility to take care of it. Amen? And if we fix our thoughts on God, His Word, and we trust in Him with all of our problems, hallelujah, then we'll actually really know what it's like to have real inner peace on the inside of us. And renewing our mind is God's way of extending the life of Jesus into every area of our life and into every area of our relationships. Amen? If we'll allow God to do those things there, it would do it. Hallelujah. And I like another one that used to help me immensely. And I like little sayings because they bless me. And that is this. Thinking faith thoughts and speaking faith words will lead your heart out of defeat and into victory. And it's just as easy to think in line with the Word of God and think words of life than it is to think words of doubt and unbelief. It's more blessed to be on the positive side of things than it is to be on the negative side of things. And we're taught we've got to guard our heart. We've got to guard our thoughts. And we can, you know, because we don't have to worry. We don't have to allow the enemy to come in. What are we going to do about this? What are we going to do about it? Oh, I don't think this. Look at this. Look at what's going on here. Oh, look what's going on. Oh. And when you're looking at all the natural things, then you're going to take care. You're going to take the weight of the world on your shoulders. And the Amplified Version of 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, the King James Version says, cast all your care on him, for he careth for you. The Amplified Version says, cast the whole of your care once and for all on him, for he careth for you watchfully, and he cares for you abundantly. Amen. Hallelujah. So what do we mean by care? It's like, if God can't build the house, it doesn't need to be built. If God can't put it, if God, the thing about it is you can't carry it. That's where faith is so wonderful, that we think, well, my faith's got to make it happen. No, my faith is not my faith to make things happen. My faith is in Him to make it happen. Hallelujah. And I'm going to trust His Word, that He's leading me, He's guiding me, and I'm going to honor Him and say, Lord, hallelujah, I believe that I'm here, and I believe, but I'm trusting You. Amen. And I want to keep my mind pure. I want to keep it humble. I want to keep it sound. I want to make sure it's spiritually minded, because I want to allow God to be God in my life. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for these wonderful, wonderful folks that are here. They're so precious and so valuable. Father, and I've taught as a pastor to the congregation, to the sheep, Lord, our heart's desire, hallelujah, is that we walk and we walk and understand the mind of Christ, that we walk, hallelujah, spiritually minded and not carnally minded, that we take hold of your word and we renew our minds so that we can know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Lord, you're so good. You're so wonderful. Lord, thank you that you love your kids so much that you want us to take authority over all the junk that's being said and done. And Lord, thank you that we can cleanse our minds. Hallelujah. We can take spiritual baths and wash. And the Bible says it's the washing of the water by the word. The word is the water that washes and cleanses us. And it gets all the dirt and all the junk out of our minds and out of our thought lives. Thank you, Father, that we are going to have right thinking and right believing and right speaking. You can always tell, because it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. And it can't come out unless the mind lets it. So, Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for renewing our minds. But, Father, our heart's desire is that the whole world would have their mind renewed about Jesus, that they would know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, that they would truly know that it's such a joy and a peace a peace that passes all understanding that guards our heart and mind. That when we get born again, we go, hallelujah, from death to life. The world doesn't even know they're in death. They don't even know they're in darkness. They need to know they're lost and they have need of a Savior. It's not all the benefits of what God can do. It's all about God sent His Son because we need a Savior. We need to be born again. We need to be the body of Christ. We need to reach out and touch lives. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, I want to invite you this morning to make Jesus the Lord of your life. It's not about joining a church. It's about joining a family. It's about joining the body of Christ and believing in your heart that God sent Jesus to die for you. And you believe it enough to say it with your mouth, Lord Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving me of all my sins. Thank you for washing me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you that you're my Lord and my Savior because I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that you're my Lord. It seems so easy, but God put us all on the same level playing field that anybody could do. But when you do that, something supernatural changes. Something happens when you believe it. Oh, you can just say it. Oh, I believe in you. You can say it. We have a lot of that. But when you truly get born again, it changes your life forever. And if you're here and you'd say, Pastor, would you pray with me? My answer is always yes, yes, and yes. So just raise your hand and say, I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. If that's you and you want to be born again this morning, we love you. God loves you. He does. He does, He does, He does with all of our heart. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, thank you for all of these that are here. I'm going to believe that they all love you and that they all know about you at least. But Father, I'm going to believe that they all know you and they want to be obedient. Father, they want to control the thoughts of their minds. They want to bring in captivity every thought of what Paul said, bringing into captivity every thought that tries to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Father, thank you for that. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for enabling them and helping them to renew their minds, to think, hallelujah, the way you want them to think. Lord, we honor you for that. We love you for that. Father, I thank you for it, and I magnify your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And Father, also, we ask that you bless our time together with all of these wonderful folks that have been living for God for many, many years and for their faithfulness to Harvest Bible Church and their faithfulness to you. Lord, bless our bread, bless our water, take sickness away from the midst of us, bless our time together, bless our food down there. Father, not only for all the seniors, but thank God for all the younger folks too, as they go and they head to wherever they're gonna go eat and do and be blessed. Father, my heart's cry is that you are just be with them, opening up their hearts, hallelujah, so they can be the blessings that you've called them to be. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, I love you and I praise you for it. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen and amen and amen. Well, let's all stand up. We're still going to have our prayer team come. If you need prayer for anything, they're here for you. Let's all stand up. And like they said, you guys, seniors, you guys all get down and just get in line, get your thing. We've got something great planned for you. You'll be blessed. Amen. God bless you all. You're dismissed.